Virtus is a Latin word for manliness, but it also implies excellence and courage. Welcome to Virtus, a show dedicated to inspiring and cultivating virtue, character, courage, excellence, manliness, and honor. I am your host, Bo Hutchess. All right, and welcome back to the podcast. It has been a little while since I have recorded something. That's because I've been busy just doing different stuff. Different stuff has come up in my work life and my personal life and things like that that just had to be addressed and haven't had the time to get back here. So we are back this morning, and some of the things that I have been busy with actually pertain to what I want to talk about today. And what I want to talk about today is the importance of having a mission in life, having a personal crafted vision, mission, direction in your life. I think this is important for all people, but especially for men. I think we need direction. I think we need steps of action and a vision and mission in life. And I think it's very, very important. And what I want to do today is talk about the importance of a personal mission in life. And I want to set it in the context of what God is doing in the world. We can think about it, our mission in light of God's mission. What we're supposed to be doing in light of what God is doing in the world. So that's what I want to talk about today. And I want to start off by saying that, when we think about God's mission in the world, it really is wrapped up in this idea of the image of God and the new humanity. That's really what God is doing in the world. What is God doing in the world? He is creating or recreating the image of God in human beings, and he is creating a new humanity to represent him in the world. And sometimes when we think about the mission of the church or the mission of God, our minds automatically go to Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And that's not a bad thing. But sometimes if we don't recognize the wider and broader context of the Great Commission, we miss out on a lot of stuff. We miss out on a lot of stuff and implications when it comes to the mission. Of course, Matthew 28, go into the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, for I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, that is the Great Commission, and that is what we think about when we think about the mission of the church and the mission of God. But I want to argue that the Great Commission in Matthew 28 there actually has an origin in the Old Testament. Jesus is not giving his disciples, giving his church, giving God's people something new there. He's not inventing something new, but he's actually just reiterating something old. He's reiterating the pattern that we see in the Old Testament. So the Great Commission, God's mission in the world, has an origin, and that origin begins in the garden, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And this is really the original Great Commission given to Adam and Eve. This is known as the cultural mandate, the creation mandate, the dominion mandate. It is what our original, it was humanity's original mission. And we see that it has a couple things, and I'm not going to read that. You can go ahead and read that because I don't have that in front of me at the moment. But a couple things that pertain to this Great Commission, this original Great Commission, is that Adam and Eve were meant to represent and to rule on God's behalf. And I think those two words are really important. They were to represent and they were to rule on God's behalf. And that really gets at what the image of God is. The image of God is an ontological thing. It speaks to what we are as in our natures, that all human beings are made in the image of God. But really, image here, using that Old Testament idea, even of an idol, even idols represent and rule on the God's behalf. So in the same way, human beings, Adam and Eve, were called to represent and rule on God's behalf. So that's one of the first things we see in the Great Commission, the creation mandate there. They were called to be stewards over creation. They were called to be fruitful and multiply, and they were called to expand the borders of the garden, to expand that place in the garden, that place in the world, the Garden of Eden, where God's presence was most fully known. The whole world was not the Garden of Eden, but there was a good world, and in that good world, that special place was the Garden of Eden. And Adam and Eve were called to expand the borders of the garden to, you know, in some sense, preach the gospel to all creation so that God's glory would go throughout all the world. And so that was the original Great Commission. The original mission of God was to expand the borders of the garden, and the human beings would represent and rule on His behalf. And we think about you know, the image of God. Let me just pontificate a little bit more on this. To be made in the image of God, as I said, speaks to our ontology, speaks to our nature, but it really speaks to how we operate in the world, that we are called to represent and rule on His behalf. Different theologians have recognized that human beings are the royal vice regents for God. We are His representatives in the world. That human beings are the priest kings, that we worship and we rule on His behalf. We are priest kings made in His image, especially Adam and Eve there in the beginning. And after the fall of man into sin, God continues this mission of image of God. God continues this mission of expanding His presence, expanding His rule and reign. And we see this reiterated all the time in the lives of His saints. Essentially, the Old Testament is the story of God using the Abrahamic line to witness to the nations the type of God He is, what kind of God He is. And that's what we see the Old Testament doing. Abraham, after the fall of man, we see that God selects a family to represent and to rule on His behalf. Abraham and the patriarchs, that is what they do. And then we see this in Moses and the people of Israel. God frees them so that they might, once again, represent and rule on His behalf. We see in the books of Joshua and Judges, as Israel is conquering the promised land, they are doing it in the name of the Lord. They are expanding the fame of God. They are expanding the rule and the reign of God in the world. And we see this in the lives of the kings, David, Solomon, and all the kings. And they were supposed to represent and rule on God's behalf so that the nations might witness what kind of God they served. But we know that that was an utter failure. So we have in the Old Testament these prophecies of one to come who will inherit and rule the nations, who will represent God and who will rule on His behalf. And we see this theme of nations and kings and kingdoms within the Psalms over and over and over. So that's really the background of the Great Commission, that God has this desire to have His name be known in the earth. And He uses us, His image bearers, those who represent and rule on His behalf, we who are God's people, we who are the people of God in the Old Testament, but also in the New. So when the New Testament and when Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus is the manifestation and fulfillment of all of God's works in the Old Testament, those explicit prophecies, those types, and those shadows. We see that Jesus is the offspring of Adam, Abraham, and David. He is the king of Judah. He is the priest according to Melchizedek. He is the prophet, the final prophet. He is the second Adam. He is God's tabernacle. He is the sacrificial lamb. He is the Messiah. He is the manifestation and fulfillment of all of God's prophecies, works, and types and shadows in the Old Testament. And we as Christians, we are in Christ, and therefore all blessings and all privileges follow us because we are in Christ. We are seated with Christ. Because we are in Christ, we are now priests, we are priests and we are kings. Peter and John in the book of Revelation say that we are a kingdom of priests. So because we are in Christ, all those blessings, we are identified with Jesus. We are identified with the Son. So the church, in this sense, when we think about the church is the new humanity. The church is fulfilling the role of God's people in the Old Testament. God chose the Abrahamic line to represent and rule on His behalf. God chose Israel and brought them out of Israel to represent and rule. God chose Joshua to go into the promised land to conquer. God chose David to be His king. And in that same vein, the church is continuing that direction. The church is the new humanity. The church is remade in the image of God. We see this theme throughout the books, especially of Colossians and of Ephesians, how we are dead to our old man and we are made into the image of God according to holiness and righteousness. So we see that the church is the new humanity. We also, in another Old Testament allusion, Jesus is the second Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. And if Jesus is the second Adam, and Jesus has a bride, the church, well, then the church is the second Eve, and we are called to help our husband. We are called to help our head subdue the earth, just like Eve helped Adam. Peter talks about in his epistle that we are a chosen people, that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that we may proclaim God's excellencies in the world. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, and he's called us into the world. So that is what God is doing in the world right now. He is expanding the borders of the garden today, in a sense. He is using the new humanity of the church to, as Isaiah says, to cover the earth with the knowledge of his glory as the waters cover the sea. That's what God is doing today. So how does that play in to our personal mission and vision in life? How does that play into what I'm talking about at the beginning of this podcast, how we need direction, how we need, mission and vision and action? How does that play in? Well, to pick up on another Old Testament theme, we are called as men to have dominion. We are called in a very real sense, a smaller scope, but in a very real sense, we too are called to have dominion over the things that God gives us. That's what God calls Adam and Eve to do, is to have dominion over the things that he gives us. God calls Adam to work and to keep the garden. And I think that we can take those principles to craft this mission and vision in our life and set it in the context of what God is doing in the world. You see, so often when we talk about the mission of the church, how we want to be on mission, how we want to be missional, we use that word so much that it really has become meaningless. Essentially, you know, from all the sermons I've listened to, from all the talks and podcasts I've listened to and books I've read on mission, essentially mission has basically come to mean just do something outside of Sunday morning. You know, just do something outside of simply attending a service on a Sunday morning. So, you know, joining a small group is being on mission. Serving your fellow man is being on mission. Taking, you know, Christian principles into your business is being on mission. Giving to the church, giving to ministry is being on mission. Evangelizing is being on mission. All, basically everything has become mission. And when everything becomes mission, nothing becomes mission. And missional and mission is kind of one of those buzzwords in Christianity right now. But that's really what a lot of things that I've heard where it becomes everything. It becomes so wide, it really becomes nothing. But to have this mission in our life, I don't want to, just add another definition to where it becomes even more meaningless. But thinking about what God is doing in the world, thinking about how we are made in the image of God and really remade in the image of God, and we think about the image of God is really a spectrum. It's not just a static state. It really is a spectrum that someone can actually be less in the image of God than another person. And that's because the image of God primarily pertains to representing and ruling on his behalf. So if we are called and if we are made in the image of God and called to represent and rule on his behalf, we are like Adam. We are like, we need to be specifically like the second Adam, but God has given us certain things in our charge that we need to have dominion over, that we need to steward, that we need to cultivate, that we need to guard, that we need to protect, just like Adam did in the garden. And this quote I'm going to share with you is from an organization called It's Good to Be a Man, and it's run by a couple of guys, Michael Foster and Non Tennant. And their stuff is very high quality when it comes to biblical masculinity, and I want to encourage you to check out what they got going on. They have a weekly newsletter they send out. It's Good to Be a Man. That's their organization. But this is what they say. They say, your mission is your best effort at wisely integrating your interests, skills, and circumstances into a personal vision for exercising dominion over what God has given you on his behalf. And that is so important. I'm going to say that quote again. Your mission is your best effort at wisely integrating your interests, skills, and circumstances into a personal vision for exercising dominion over what God has given you on His behalf. There's so much there that we could talk about, but I want to particularly talk about two things: integrating your interests, skills, and circumstances, and exercising dominion. And I think that the first part, you know, is important. You know, we are not just meant to drift through life. We are not just meant to be cookie cutter Christians. But we have different interests. We have different skills. We have different ways of looking at things. We have different circumstances in our lives. So it's up to us to figure out how we can leverage these things for the glory of God and leverage these things to live the best life we can under the rule and reign of Christ. To wisely integrate your interests, skills, and circumstances. And that's kind of what I have going on in my life right now. I have the opportunity afforded to me to where I can do the ministry full time at my local church, but I also have the flexibility to work a day or two of construction every week. Some weeks I don't work any construction. Some weeks I work a couple days. And that's something that I'm cultivating in my life because I'm interested in it. I'm pretty good at it, and the circumstance has afforded me an opportunity to do those things on the side outside of full-time ministry. And I don't do those things simply, you know, to do those things because I find enjoyment, but it's actually, you know, adding value to my household. It's bringing in more income. And it's also teaching me skills. It's helping me to network with other people with the people that I work with in construction and what have you. So that's just an instance. I have this circumstance right now where I can work construction and I can do other things with my hands. Another thing that I've, you know, talked about on this podcast before is some of the cradle stuff that I do and the woodworking stuff that I do that I'd like to continue to cultivate. But that's just an example of how I'm doing this in my life. I'm integrating the interests, skills, and circumstances I have to exercise dominion over the things that God has given me. And really, God has given us little kingdoms in a sense. God has given us little plots of land, in a sense, that we are called to steward, that we are called to cultivate, that we are called to be good, faithful people over, to be good stewards over. And really that, as men, our kind of dominion, our domain, our kingdom is our households. God has called us to be the heads of our house, to be the leaders, to have authority, to rule our households, and he expects us to do that well. So one of the things in my life that my wife are trying to do, we are trying to establish a productive household. We are trying to, you know, bring economic productivity back into the house. We are trying to bring fellowship back into the household. And, you know, that the household is not just a place where we go to relax, but it's a place where we go to work. So that's kind of our personal mission in life. We want to exercise dominion in that way and be good stewards over the things that God has given us. So that's just a quick primer on a mission in life, a quick primer, and setting it in the context of God's mission in life, that we are trying to expand the borders of God's garden, that we are trying to represent and rule on God's behalf. Of course, we are making disciples, and of course, we are fellowshipping, and of course, we are evangelizing, but we're also making it a little more personal as we are exercising dominion over the things that God has given us. And along with this, you know, just a couple things to kind of wrap up, a couple of ideas of how to, you know, have a mission in life. I would encourage you to set yearly and five-year goals. You know, my wife and I, we sit down every couple of months and we review these yearly goals and we review these five-year goals. And it just helps you stay on track. It really does help you be together with your wife, to work on something together with your wife. And as you get older, as your kids get older, to work on something with your kids together as a family. But having goals really is very motivating and very powerful. So that's something that I refer to often, you know, hey, are we on track with our yearly goal? And how is this yearly goal kind of playing into this five-year goal? And it really is motivating. You know, a couple things that that we have wanted to do in the past year, we wrote them down. We talked about them, we wrote them down, and we've got to do some of these goals. It's kept us on track. We paid off our truck far earlier than we thought we were going to. You know, we've done different types of things financially that we wouldn't have done otherwise if we didn't write these goals down. We've done different things to bring food into our own household and things like that. You know, so just having goals is so huge when it comes to having a mission in life. It really gives you direction. It gives you just motivation as you see your kind of goals kind of come to fruition. So, men, we need a mission in life, and I want to encourage you to do these things, to have a 5-year plan, have a 1-year plan. Think about your life in the broader scope of God's mission in the world, how He is expanding the borders of His garden, how He has called you to represent and to rule on His behalf. And I think that those things, we need a personal vision like that. We're not cookie cutter Christians. And of course, it's going to look similar to other households and other men in our life. But we need a mission in life. We need direction. We need to be aiming towards something. And I hope that this little episode helps you do that. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Remember that pursuing virtues is a journey, and it's a road that we are always walking. With new information, it's now time to act. So be wise and take responsibility. Be courageous and do what you need to do today.